Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one. Hi, Tina and all the family back there. I didn't get to greet you this morning there. Missed you. Greetings to everybody this morning. It's a wonderful day. Glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. I am like a tree in the spring this morning. You don't know what that means. It's all leafed out. Well, they didn't get that. I'll give you a little corny joke. Why should you not arn your four-leaf clover? You're pressing your luck. I got a giggle out of you. Psalms 123 reads like this to you good people this morning. Unto thee lift I my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their master, and as the eyes of the maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord. And God, until that we have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O God, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contentment of the proud. A song of degrees here from Psalmist David, praised his Lord. Let's praise Almighty God together.
For him, the worship music number 234, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the beauty of it, dear God, and thank you for what it means to us. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you that we were able to be part and enjoy the service out here this morning and reminding us of the ones who have given their life for our freedom here in this great America. Heavenly Father, we come though and we recognize that the great soldier, Jesus Christ, who set us free from our sins. Heavenly Father, if it wasn't for Christ, nothing else would matter. So we're thankful, dear God, to have a wonderful Savior like Jesus. We're so thankful to have so many people in this group here, this Porter Church family, that love the Lord, Heavenly Father, that trust you, Heavenly Father, and look for the good things that you have for us, and we're thankful for them. So we thank you for the good things you blessed us with last week, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the health and strength we have to be able to be here today to be a part of this worship service. Heavenly Father, we just want to do things that are pleasing to you. We want to honor you. We want to thank you, dear God. We just are so thankful, dear God, that we have one who knows what is best for us and knows all about us and works in our lives and gives us the Holy Spirit guidance and strength, Heavenly Father, day by day. We thank you so much for that. So as we come this morning, Heavenly Father, we're seeking you. We seek, Heavenly Father, your favor upon us, that Heavenly Father, that you'll bless us in a good way for each and every one and in the way they need to be, Heavenly Father, or their needs for daily life. And just help us, Heavenly Father, to rejoice in your goodness, we pray. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion hymn, we use number 364, singing the first and fourth verse.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
They'll be reading from John 6:53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat from the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and partake of Holy Communion. As we partake of these elements, help us to remember the bread represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this great blessing. And we come now and ask for forgiveness when we fail you. We ask it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather in your house on the Lord's Day. We bring you back a portion of the day, be with the gift and giver, and the upbuilding of thy kingdom, which we're addressed in thy name. Amen.
Let me straighten out what I started to say about being like a tree in the spring. It's relieved. And I am relieved to be here. Aren't you relieved to be here? Hey, all those old things out there, troubles and problems is out there. I'm in here with good Christian people, love God. I'm relieved to be here, man. Yeah. Amen. All right. This Friday night will be the first day of the month, so we'll be looking forward to a great challenge of these guys here that's all fired up to put us down. We're going to go after them. And so be here and watch that. And we encourage you to be here. It's always a good time. And folks that's not been here, welcome and be a part of that. Let's see what else we got going here. Well, there won't be a Bible study tonight. We announced before that will not be tonight. We'll continue that next Lord's Day evening because of several of our families is going to be visiting different places. And we have several absent this morning because they're visiting various places. And I know Wayne and Fanny, they're down in Jackson County. And I don't know where everybody else out. I know they're visiting and so forth. And but we're glad you're here. And we're just going to keep on praising the Lord. Any other announcements of any way? Okay. Just have a good, safe weekend, if you will, please. To our prayer list, we still have several on our prayer list, and we want to keep in mind for them. And also we want to share with you, we got word back from Keith. Keith had to make a hospital stop last week, and for his sugar and so forth, they give him some medication. They're on their way again, so they're okay, and just had a little problem with that. So we just pray that that'll be taken care of, and they'll continue on their trip and enjoy the rest of their journey. Let's see, who else is on our prayer list here? We haven't mentioned for a while. Okay. Same ones is on there, and so keep them in your prayers. And of course, today we have the Memorial weekend, and we certainly want to kind of say something about that. And we're so thankful we've had people who are willing to sacrifice their lives and so that we can be free to be here today like we are and to freely worship and express our faith. We're so thankful for that. And while I'm at it, let's see. Let's recognize there's Bergen and Mike and Frank, Virgil. Bob, was you in service? Okay. Who else? All right. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you, folks. Thank you, guys. I didn't tell you. Okay, yeah, well, that's all right. He's just a little thing. To those big things, those guys did. I'm nothing. Okay, other things, let's look at them.
My sister, I just added to the prayer list.
Okay.
She has been in the hospital. She's had several medical problems.
Okay. Okay, I see the new
That's
one.
That's my sister.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. All right. Okay. Is there anybody else that maybe? We certainly want to keep in mind each and every one and just go down your prayer list and pray for those. And Dale and Vi, I haven't talked to them this week. I guess they're about the same as they were. Bless their heart. I was hoping the spring come and they'd be able to get out and maybe get some fresh air and kind of get energized a little bit and maybe be back with us. And hopefully they will be able, but they're having a time, and they've got they just got decisions to make and everything, and so just earnestly pray for those folks. They certainly are needing help. And who else we got on there? People in the care homes, nursing homes, certainly pray for them. And this church, each and every one, I like to go up and down the pews. I don't know how you do it, but I like to just sometimes just sit down and just talk to God about each and every one, and so thankful for people like you folks who are so encouraging and a part of this family here, and God blesses you, and you're a blessing to us, and just pray for each other every day. And
I want to put my brother on a prayer list and his family, especially because he just was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
He's going to have surgery in less than this Thursday.
Okay.
Just go from there and see what the results will be.
All right.
Kenny.
For you folks, I think about everybody here gets my emails, I think, about everybody. But if somebody here didn't get my emails, I was made the trip to the doctor, to the heart surgeon, Monday. And I think he was a little bit surprised because things had not deteriorated. I kind of think that he thought maybe I would have more problems going on. But anyhow, it hasn't changed hardly any. Praise God. But now I'm set up for the 7th of this month, this next month, going for an echogram to see what the valve and stuff is doing there. He couldn't quite tell all that, so we got to get an echogram. But things are looking good, you know. I mean, it's not gone, but it's not getting terribly worse. And so I just praise the Lord, and I thank you all for your prayers. And I'm doing and feeling about the same as I did, so praise the Lord. I'm thankful. So your prayers are helpful, and help all these folks here. Just keep them in your hearts and your mind, and pray for them, and pray for them, and pray for them. And that's great, great. All right, we come to our prayer time. Why God is so good. And as we had in our Bible class this morning, and from the Psalms 34, that David called upon the Lord, and twice David said, "I called upon the Lord, and He heard me. And He answered my prayer, and helped me out of my troubles," he says. And you go into the 6th verse there, and you'll see that. And we want to keep that in our hearts and minds. And cry out to God. He hears, and He helps. And we're going to do that right now.
For a prayer hymn, using number 92, sing the first and last verse, and do the book with every prayer. This whole thing. Invitation hymn to number 385 at this time in the choir room.
Jordan, looking back on the water they had passed through, they shouted and praised Him.
Kathleen and choir. That's great. A little different, but that's great. I failed to mention, I wanted to mention and thank the people that was here last Sunday afternoon. And we got off to a start. We had some very good number of people who volunteered to work on our centennial thing, which is coming up the latter part of the year. And so be praying for them, if you will, as they gather information. We want to get as much information as we can from back, as far back as we can, and share that, and it'll just be a good time together. So I thank all those folks that came last week and all you that volunteered to do that, and we just thank you for it. Look forward to working with you and having a great time of celebration. Share with you this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3, and have to explain this verse after a while, I guess. But we're here this morning, and one of the things that is very plainly on our mind is the fact that of soldiers, people of war that has defended our nation and made it free and keeps it free for us to be able to enjoy the things that we enjoy here, the men and women who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom. There's been thousands, well, I guess millions of men and women who have sacrificed their life, and it's not been all in vain. And they willingly done that. Their sacrifice as far as has kept this nation free. And I'm so glad that we had people that are willing to do that, willing to go to war for us, willing to sacrifice their lives to keep America free. I'm so thankful that we live in a free nation, that we're not under communism and so forth, and we're not under some of the rule and reign that some of the nations are. That we've got problems, that's for sure. We've got some troubles, but boy, isn't it wonderful to be able to be as free as we are. And so we just pray that God will continue to help us and bless us and bless those people and those families who have lost loved ones. And I know it's a sad time when you go to the cemetery today and know that there's a young person out there that laid their life down and no longer with us because their life was given. But they sacrificed for you and for me, and we ought to be very grateful for that. And any way that we can, we ought to show our appreciation for that, that's for sure. And so I do not wish to defame in any way the sacrifice that these men and women made in our armed forces. Many of them, as I say, millions, I'm sure there's millions probably if you count them all up from all the war times that sacrificed their lives, literally give their lives and on the front lines of battle. And I don't wish to diminish the importance of the sacrifice of those who once in service are now serving the country. You know, sometimes we probably miss that. You know, we have people who has gone and served in the services, and they've come back and they're serving the country good now. We have a lot of veterans that are in some of the prestigious places that are still working and still doing things, laboring for our freedom. So we're so thankful for that. And I think, you know, we probably short them a little bit, don't you think, sometimes, because they sacrificed and they're still sacrificing, still working and still fighting for the freedom of our nation. And so remember those that are even doing that, that they left their homes, left their families, left their safety and for the freedom of America to serve this hostile country. Just really, they, you know, I don't know what it's like. I didn't have any part of that, but you guys did. And Bergen, he was over right in the hot of it over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and so forth. And he knows what it is to be in the hostile places and being there to that we don't have to suffer that, and doing it for us. And so as we recognize there, Mike and Frank and Bergen and so forth, you know, they laid aside everything. You know, I don't know whether we really think, and I was sitting and thinking about this, you know, and I said, you know, and they actually laid aside everything, you know, walked away from it and went to hostile country to serve so that you and I could enjoy what we're enjoying today. And, you know, they just give up everything. And when you stop to think about that, man, I mean, that covers a lot of territory. You know, when you walk away from your wife, you walk away from your family, you walk away from your job, you just leave everything behind and go and do that. That's tremendous, you know. They laid aside their civilian clothes and put on a uniform, you know, that represents our nation. And so they just laid aside everything that they had and everything that they wore and so forth. So it's a tremendous sacrifice that has taken place. And beautiful stories comes out of that. I've read this story I want to share with you that, you know, talking about sacrificing and so forth. And so the story goes, and this is supposed to be a true story, and I take it to be, possibly. I mean, I'm pretty sure it is the way it read and where I got it. It said it was a few weeks before Christmas in 1917. And it's a beautiful snowy landscape there in Europe, and it was blackened by war. And it was the Germans was in one trench and Americans in another trench, and it was just a small area of no man's land between them. And so as the battle raged there, there was one of the young German fellow, he decided to come across no man's land, and he got shot, got wounded, got tangled up in the barbed wire, and always screamed out and cried out. And so the American troops in their trench, between the shelling and so forth, the firing, they could hear him agonizing, crying out and so forth. And one of the American soldiers couldn't stand it any longer. And he started crawling out to this German soldier and out through no man's land there. And the American soldiers, I understand, they saw what he was doing and they stopped firing. And so after a while, the Germans happened to see. And so one of the majors or captains or whoever, and the Germans saw what the American soldier was up to. And he had them to stop firing. And so he crawled on out, got this German soldier, a young fella, and untangled him and carried him back to his trench and give him into the arms of his comrades there. And he turned to go back to his trench, and all at once he felt his hand on his shoulder and had pulled him around real strongly, and he was faced with this general, this guy, and he had on him the Iron Cross, the emblem that represent the bravest man, the bravest emblem that you could get in the service. And that German guy, officer, took that off and put it on the American soldier. And he went back across no man's land, and nobody fired until he got back. And when the American soldier got back in the trench, then the fire began again. But you know for yourself that young German was very thankful for the sacrifice of that American soldier. You can tell that. What a beautiful story that is, you know, sacrifice to somebody that was working against you. That's something very special. Somebody that was actually there to take your life, and you saved their life, and you sacrificed your life to do that. It's wonderful. So this morning, I wish to talk to you for a few minutes about the great soldier, the greatest of great soldiers. We've had many great soldiers. We've had many men and women has been highly honored and highly decorated for their service and for their sacrifices there. But I want to share with you some thoughts here this morning and bring our minds and thoughts back to the greatest soldier that ever walked this earth. And I find it here in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It reads like this, 1 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And we know who that's talking about. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Son of God. That's the God-man that came. And I want us to think about him, the greatest story. Jesus stepped onto a battlefield of hostility. Just as these fellows went over in those hostile countries, Jesus stepped into this hostile world, into this time zone here. He entered the fight knowing that it would cost him. Now, I'm quite sure that our men that we've noticed here this morning had that in the back of their mind that they might not make it back home. We're so glad that you guys did. But I'm sure that possibly you probably thought, had that in your mind, it's a possibility you wouldn't come back. But it was in all hopes that you would be back. And we're glad you did. But this great soldier, when he come and stepped on this earth, when he stepped on this battlefield here, he knew he was going to die. There was no doubt about it. He knew from the very start he's going to die. He humbled himself, his life. He humbled himself, and he gave his life. And you and I know it wasn't in vain, because look what become of that. Praise God for it. So remembering the greatest soldier reminds us of the greatest event of human history. He came into this world. He stepped out of eternity and came into a time zone that we live in. Left all the glories of heaven and came. Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, John says for us in the book of John, in the beginning, he takes off just like it was in Genesis and talks about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, that was Jesus, and he was with God, and he was God. He's the God-man that came to us. He always existed, always. He was there in eternal place. He was there in peace and harmony. He was in safety, and he stepped into the time zone of earth and into a hostile country knowing he was going to die. What a soldier we have. What a soldier we have to come to battle for you and for me, that we would then be freed from our sins, you know, freed from our sins, freed from the death and penalty of hell that we deserve. Jesus stepped out of eternity and come into this world of time to spend a little time here and give his life. Then Jesus laid aside all of his heavenly address, you know. I remember when Bergen left and he was living over here on Indian Creek. And so the next thing I knew, I had an address for Iraq and somewhere over in there. Had an email for there. He no longer had this address over here. Jesus left the address in heaven and came to this earth. Every man and woman serving the armed forces left their home and laid aside their home address. When the great soldier Jesus came, he left home and laid aside the heavenly address. Just think about it. Where he lived before he came to earth and what he had. And what the angels bowed to him. The angels worshiped him. He was number two in all the glories of heaven. And he gave up that address and came to this earth. He had existed in a perfect, peaceful, free place. And you know, to think that heaven, and we've talked about that lately a lot, heaven as perfect as it is, and to look down on a sin-filled world, a world of hate, the world that we're living in now that shouldn't be like it is. It should sure be more like heaven. And Jesus came to make it more like heaven. And he left all the glories of heaven and come down just for you and for me. He existed there where there was no suffering, no sorrow. Where there no one cripples and no one blind, no one that couldn't hear. And he came down, and every place he went, people was reaching out and grabbing after him and hollering for him. Master, help me. He wasn't used to that. He was in a perfect place and everything was good and right. And he left that and came for people like us. For people who need him. He lived as a man among men. He came, as this scripture says, he was manifested in the flesh. He took on flesh of man, become man, walked among men, and he died as a man. I know there's a lot of people and even preachers wants to preach a little different from that. They want to talk about, oh, he was God and he did all that. But listen, he suffered. Our Jesus suffered as man. He was nailed to that cross. He was man. He bled on that cross just like you bleed when you get a scarred somehow or another. As a man. Left all the glories for that. Left all the glories. May we never forget that our Savior is no ordinary person. He's an exceptional person. He's an exceptional man. He demonstrated that to us. He is the God-man, Jesus, our Savior, God's Son. Jesus laid aside his heavenly apparel. I mentioned a moment ago. I don't know when you went to service, you just took off your civilian clothes and put them in a bag, didn't you? Put on a uniform. And so Jesus laid aside all his apparel. When a soldier enters the army, he or she ceased to wear the clothes that they wore as civilians. They lay aside their civilian clothes and are fitted for uniforms, referring to the company, representing the country that they are. And when Jesus came into this world, he was willing to lay aside his heavenly fame. See, he was number two. He was a great one in heaven. And he laid aside all that just to come here, just to come for you and for me. Born as a babe in Bethlehem, you know. Now, you know, that was hard for me to kind of come to grips with, to understand, really, because the lack of knowledge that I have, understanding that I have of things, and to be able to understand how that one would come from heaven, one who was God, one who was the Son of God, who would be then birthed into a babe and grow up as a man and die for people like you and me and then go back to heaven. But now I understand, you know, what it was all about. It was all about because God really loved me and loved you. It was nothing but love. And that great soldier, Jesus, I know that men and women, they love this country. And they laid down their life for it. And I don't want to short nobody. But listen, there was no love like Jesus. No one ever loved like Jesus. No one. All out of love. Laid aside everything. Creator of the universe, powerful as he is, he left heaven and came into the world. He knew pain. He knew suffering. That's why he can help us. That's why David can say, he helped me out of my trouble, because he went through trouble. He walked through trouble for you and for me. A troubled world we're living in now, he still operates in our lives and helps us. Jesus left heaven and came into this world. He knew pain. I can hardly visualize, and I can't quite imagine how that one could beat another one with those terrible instruments they had in that day, when they had whips with different latches on them, five or six or a dozen different tongs like on them, and they would put metal on them and rocks and bones and sharp things of any kind they could and beat a person. And 40 times. And it just teared the skin away. And I hate to get into the gory stuff, but you know, to think that he would go through that for you and for me. He had to be a great one. He's the greatest soldier that ever walked this earth. He fought the battle and he won. And he won. He fought our battle. Oh, we should have fought and we should have died. But he did that for us. He did it. Jesus came into the world as a man. He lived as a man. He died on a cross as a man. He rose again from the dead as a man. He ascended into heaven and he's glorified, the Son of God. Oh, he's coming again. You see, Jesus didn't just come into the world to live. We came into the world to live, but, you know, we come into the world, and whether we realize it or not, but when we come into the world, well, we begin to die. From the day you was born, the day we was born, we were bound to die. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed a man wants to die. And so if we live to be I've been excited about hearing this last, in the last months and even this year, of so many people being 104 and 105 and 107. And Maxine was telling me about the lady had her birthday last week, and I believe she was up in a near 110 or somewhere up in there. I mean, man, that's great. And she looked great in her picture and so forth. And, you know, but if you live to be 150, you're going to die. You're going to die. But we don't have to die to the hell that Satan would have us to die to. We don't have to die to the eternal punishment because of what Jesus did. Because this one who laid down his life, this one who was willing to leave all the glories of heaven and lay down his life for you and for me. Again, I say I'm not shorten our memorial service for all of our service people. So thankful for what they've done. So grateful for what they've done. But listen, I'm so grateful for what Jesus did. Aren't you? I mean, he could have did everything else but that. He didn't have to come. I visualized God the Father and God the Son having a conversation in heaven. And the agreement was, you know, God was probably saying, you know, this is not biblical. But I, you know, if you're like me, you imagine, you know, and you say, you know, I imagine Jesus and God sitting there, and they saying, you know, God's saying, I just love those people so much. And he said, they're not worthy of saving, but I love them so much, you know. And he said, they really don't know what they're doing. They've been misguided, and Satan has tempted them and fooled them. And I want to save them. Some way I want to save them. And I can see Jesus says, well, I'll go. And God says, well, it has to be a blood sacrifice. And Jesus says, I'll die for them, you know, with no qualms. Sometimes they make a big to-do in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Jesus was praying, and Jesus was talking to God the Father, and he was talking about the things of which is going to come the next day or so. And he did say, Father God, if there's another way, why, use it. But he said, I'm willing, you know, I'm willing. You know, I'm glad they did away with the draft system. I really am, you know, because that was forcing people to go, you know. And I'm glad that we was able to have enough volunteer men and women like you folks to go and serve our country. And it didn't have to force you to do it. And see, God didn't force Jesus. Jesus says, according to your will, I'll do it. He didn't back off one bit. He could look and said, well, Benny's not worth it. But maybe Bergen is, and I'll go for Bergen and not Benny. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'll go for them all. Whosoever will, I'll go for them. And he did that. And he came for you and for me. He died because he came into a world to save sinners. And until we realize that, until we come to the facts of that, until people come, and you people, I think I can speak for about everybody in this room. You came to grips with the fact that you're a sinner. And you needed a Savior. Without a Savior, you'd be lost. Without a Savior, you would not have a communion with God. And Jesus came and died in your stead, and you accepted that. And now you don't have to suffer that penalty and pain and suffering that Jesus took that upon himself. He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached with the Gentiles, believed on in the world. That's what you've done. He was believed on the world, received up in glory. Amen. It's my understanding that, you know, and I think I read a figure 1.1. Bergen probably knows, he keeps up with that stuff. But is that probably close to 1.1 million men and women that has given their lives, that has died in wars in time. That's a lot of people, isn't it? I mean, I can't fathom a million, you know. It's hard for me to think about 100. But when you think of a million, 0.1 men and women, you know, that died to guarantee our freedom in this nation, our freedom to go about and do what we're doing and live as we live. They gave all so that we might enjoy all the blessings of this world here, this great land, and it is a great land, and I love America. I love that boy sings, that guy that sings out here every time he comes out there, God bless America, you know. Home of the brave, home of the free, you know. That's so wonderful that we live like that. You know, there's a lot of people can't sing that. A lot of people can't say that. A lot of people don't live like that. But you and I do, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate each year Memorial Day, Memorial Weekend. But you know, for a Christian, every day is a Memorial Day. I hope that there's not a day goes past that you don't remember the greatest soldier that ever walked upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, every day. We come around the Lord's table every week, but every day I'm reminded as I wake up and know and look out, I have a Savior in Jesus Christ. Now let me close with this. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. May we never forget it. Who Jesus is and what He has done for us and where He is and where He's going to be taking us someday. But listen, folks, if we had a dozen more wars, if we lost another 1.1 million lives in those wars, it would be all in vain. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who was willing to come and be top general in our lives. Amen. If you're not marching under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to invite you to come and do that today and receive Him as your Savior and join in Him, join with Him in this battle against the evil that we have in the world. We're going to stand and sing the first verse only. Hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. So Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. I will follow where He leads me. I will follow where He leads me. I will follow. What a Savior we have in Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And might you be blessed this week like you've never been blessed before, because you are following the great and wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great, safe weekend, the rest of the weekend. God bless you in it. Robert, would you dismiss us in God's love?
Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being able to come into your house.